It's wonderful to see the people of God fellowshipping together, celebrating the Lord's table. It's a wonderful thing. It's a beautiful thing. Holy, holy, holy is our Lord God Almighty. Amen? Amen. So I had the pleasure of speaking to you 2 weeks ago on the gifts of the Spirit, and I told you at that time, church, that all of you have at least one of the gifts of the Spirit. None of you had all of the gifts of the Spirit. And I want to make clear that as I spoke to you last week, we turn to Hebrews chapter 2, where it tells us that the miraculous gifts of the Holy Spirit were for the confirmation of Jesus Christ and his coming and the new revelation, the New Testament. Hebrews tells us that those sign gifts of prophecy, tongues, and healing were for a time. They weren't for the history of the church. Now, the other gifts of the Spirit were for the church throughout the centuries. But when I say that we believe the gift of healing ceased, what we mean by that is in the early church, a person, any person, could be bestowed the gift of healing. So Larry could have the gift of healing. So if someone needed healing, we could say, call for Larry, he has the gift of healing. Now, in today's church, we think that gift has ceased. But we do not think that the gift of God healing someone has ceased through prayers of his people. I want to make that perfectly clear here. We pray for people to be healed, and that is how God heals. It is still a miracle. God does not heal most people, does he? But I have a wonderful story for you today. I have a story of a real, verified healing that has happened to someone that used to be in this very body of Christ. Any of you remember Ryan Atkins? He was the son, he is the son-in-law of Ben and Carrie Griffin. A while back, Ryan was coughing up blood, not a while back, very recently, but about a year back, he started to have symptoms. He couldn't breathe. He shortened his breath. He was coughing up blood. Turns out when they did the CAT scan of his chest, he had pleural fibrosis. He had a severe case of scarring of the liver, of the lungs. So both lungs were scarred, hardens the lungs, makes it difficult to breathe. And when you have the level of scarring that Ryan had, the amount of years you have left on this earth are probably no more than 8 years. He is not yet 30. He has 2 children, not in their teens. He has a loving wife. So naturally, this diagnosis of end-stage fibrosis of the lungs was horrifying to them. But Ryan had faith, and he said, I'm going to see if there's some treatment for me that might allow me a few more years. They prayed hard. They prayed long and hard with many, many tears. I can say, though I wasn't there, I can certainly say that's how I would pray for my son, my brother, my father, my spouse. So Ryan said, I'm going to go to an institution in Los Angeles where they have this trial, where they're developing some medications that might give me length of life. So he flew out to Los Angeles. And when they decide who's going to be in this trial, they rerun all the tests, right? So they did tests of his lungs and scans of his lungs. And church, they came back to Ryan and said, it's a medical miracle. There's no more scarring on your lungs. Now, church, I say that because it's not like they said, here's some medicine, and he got better. They saw scarring on the lungs. There was no scarring on the lungs. That does not happen by any medicine. That does not happen by running or doing a diet of certain foods. That, church, is the miracle working power of prayer. That's what that is. So this young man, who not even 30, thought he might have had 8 years max left, can enjoy his family because of the power of prayer. Now, for those of you here today who say, I've been praying a long time and I haven't been healed, I know, and we will continue to pray for you. Miracles are miracles because they don't happen for everybody all the time. And I feel deeply sorrow about that. But even Ryan, as he overcomes this, one day he will get sick and die. One day, we are all destined for the grave unless the Lord comes. So I tell you that, church, because I am so blessed this morning to be able to bring the last message to you about the power of the Holy Spirit. And what I want to tell you this morning is, though certain gifts, miraculous gifts, have ceased, You have the ability as the Church of Jesus Christ to live supernatural lives. Lives where God is intervening for you on a daily basis. And that's absolutely true. And if you're sitting here this morning and your life is absolutely miserable and you feel defeated and you are depressed, listen up, because you don't have to live that way. You do not have to live that way. If you rely on the supernatural work of the Holy Spirit and the divine intervention of God in your life, you can write a new story. So let's pray, church, and then we'll dig into some scriptures that are familiar to all of us. And I want to kind of bring some things together, some scriptures that you know well. And I want you to leave here this morning knowing and trusting that the sovereign God who created you, saved you, and loves you can make your life story something wonderful, something better than it is today. Amen. Father, we pray for your power, Lord, to just exude through us and in us. Lord, we see that you do intervene in the world today. And we know from your scripture that through the power of the Holy Spirit, we can walk meaningful lives. And we can see that you intervene, that you make things happen, that you love us, that you have a path for us to walk. And Lord, you can change this world through broken vessels like us who you are repairing day after day after day. We give all glory and grace to you. You are our Father. You've provided our Savior. And there is no other Savior other than Jesus Christ. In Jesus' precious name, amen. All right, church. So I told you, I want you to walk out of here knowing that you can walk in the supernatural power of the Holy Spirit. I think it's been a wonderful series. We're going to start in Psalm 139 this morning. A very familiar psalm, one of my favorite psalms. And this reminds me of something very wonderful, church. Where can I go from your spirit? Where can I flee from your presence? If I ascend to heaven, you are there. If I make my bed in Sheol, behold, you are there. If I take the wings of the dawn, if I dwell in the remotest parts of the sea, even there your hand will lead me and your right hand will hold me. Have you ever asked that question, church? God, where are you? Where are you? I need you now. Where are you? You know what the answer is, church, to that question? I'm with you. I'm here with you. Because as the psalmist says, there is nowhere that you or I can flee from the presence of the Holy Spirit. This was written in the Old Testament. It's even more true, church, in you and I, the church. Why? Because we've learned through this series, where does the Holy Spirit live? In you. Where can you go from the Holy Spirit? Well, I'm going to go over here. No, he lives in you. You're taking him with you. The Holy Spirit dwells in you. There's nowhere you can flee where the Holy Spirit isn't with you. If you go up to heaven or if you descend into Sheol, there is nowhere that you can escape the loving, sovereign presence of the Holy Spirit of God. And that should give you a great deal of comfort, church. If you believe it, that can give you a great deal of comfort. If I say, surely the darkness will overwhelm me and the light around me will be night, even the darkness is not dark to you and the night is as bright as the day. Darkness and light are alike to you. This is so important. Well, John, if the Holy Spirit is with me, I guess that means my entire life is going to be a bed of roses. It's going to be like the health and wealth gospel, right? When I become a Christian, all my problems are going to be solved. I'm going to start getting money. Money's going to start arriving in the mail because God is blessing me and the Spirit is with me. God does not say that. The health and wealth gospel is teaching from hell. Our lives will be filled with hard times. People will get sick and not get better. The person I've slept next to and loved for 30, 40, 50 years will one day not be next to me. My children will get sick. These things are bad things that will happen. But church, we can walk in this world knowing that bad things happen to unbelievers, but they also happen to believers, but those unbelievers, They don't have the presence of God in their life. I'd rather walk a hard, dark road with God in my life than without God in my life, because this is a sinful world and things will not be perfect until we get to glory with our Lord Jesus Christ. So I choose to walk in the Spirit. What does it mean to walk in the Spirit, church? It means I will keep my eyes fixed upon Jesus Christ, his death, his resurrection, and the power that he has given me, God in me through the Holy Spirit, to walk the walk he wants me to walk. I will choose to do that no matter what darkness comes, because the Bible tells us darkness will not come, but it gives us hope. What is dark to you and I? What is darkness to you and I? It is as though it was light to the Lord, because in the Lord, there is no true darkness. Whatever we suffer and struggle through here, our reward in heaven will be 100 times more, 1,000 times more. So to the Lord and to us here, as we walk through darkness, it's the same as walking through the light, because the same God has you in his hands. And he said, I will be with you through the darkness, because to me, I can see through to the other side, because the darkness doesn't blind God. He sees one end from the other, when sometimes all we see is being trapped in the middle of the valley of the shadow of death. But he tells us he's with us. He doesn't abandon us. Your eyes have seen my unformed substance, God, and in your book were all written the days that were ordained for me, when as yet there was not one of those days. Church, we just sang a wonderful song. This is my story. This is my song. I have a question for you. If you were to go back at the last chapter of your story that you're writing, when you live and breathe day by day, if you were just to turn the book of your life back one chapter, how would it read? What would the title of that last chapter be? Depressed, hopeless, victorious, living for Christ. You, church, are writing your story. You, church, are writing your book. But John, it says, the days that were ordained for me, before they were yet, not one of them was, they were in God's book. God has my book. God has my story. But there's a beautiful teaching in the Bible, church, that yes, God knows everything from eternity past. He knows everything you've done yesterday, today, and he knows everything you will do tomorrow. He knows it all. It's written in his book. But John, does that mean that I can't change my book? Does that mean that my story's written? Does that mean that there's nothing I can do because my book is on a trajectory of being something horrible, something that I would hate for my children to read? Good news is you can write the next page differently than you wrote the last page. God still knows what's going to be on that page. But you have a choice to walk in the Spirit and write a new chapter, or to walk in the flesh and continue to build upon the chapters you've already written. It's your choice. How do I know that? A lot of people might challenge my theology on that, but let me tell you something. Let's say I've decided next Thursday, I've had it. I've had it with all this Christianity stuff. I'm going to go get drunk. I'm going to drink a lot of beer, and I'm going to go rob a bank because I want some more stuff. Now, next Thursday, I'm going to do that. Now, let's say next Thursday, I go do that. Was me doing that written in God's book from before the foundation of the earth? Absolutely. Absolutely. Did it being written in that book make me do it? Absolutely not. God knows everything I will do, and he will use everything that I do for his glory. I can walk in the Spirit and not rob a bank, or I can walk in the flesh and rob a bank. But here's one thing, church. If I walk in the flesh and rob that bank, God can use me in prison. He can use me if I make unwise decisions. He can still use me, and he will, but I have an impact on what is on the page of my life. And if you don't believe me, then you go ahead and tell me God is the author of sin, that God made me rob a bank. You go ahead and tell me that God is a God who makes me hurt people, rob banks, kill people, divorce. He makes me do all these things that he hates. You tell me it's in his book because he made me do it. No, it's in his book because he knew I would do it. But there are pages in the book where he uses me even when I fall. But my story for you this morning, church, is write your story better. Walk in the power of the Holy Spirit. Walk in love. Walk in grace. Walk in peace. Don't walk in anxiety, depression, and giving up. Don't walk that way. Walk in the way of the Lord, and you can rewrite that book. It's not a new book to the Lord. Every day is before him, and he knows the end from the beginning. But he knows the decisions that you'll make, and he factored that into your book. Look, we got exciting things. How can we live supernaturally? How can we do it? Now, to him who is able to do far more abundantly beyond all that we ask for or think, according to the power that works within us, to him be the glory in the church and in Christ Jesus to all generations forever and ever. Amen. Now, to him who is able to do far more abundantly beyond what we ask or think. Pastor John preached on that last week. We have a prayer life, but the Holy Spirit intercedes for us, and he prays for what we really need. We go to the Lord, and the Holy Spirit says, hey, John really needs this, John really needs that to glorify you. And we can do far more abundantly than we ask or think. Why, church? According to the power that works within us. My question for you is, what is that referring to? What is the power that works within us? The Holy Spirit of God. We can do more abundantly beyond all that we ask by the power of the Holy Spirit that dwells in us. You can have a wonderful, God-glorifying life that's full of difficulty, but focuses on Jesus, and you can glorify him more abundantly than you ever thought you could because you rely on the power that is within you, the power of the Holy Spirit. For we are his workmanship. God made you. God saved you. God created the beautiful person that you are, created in Christ Jesus. Why, church? For good works. You were created, you were born again for good works, not to do evil, which God prepared beforehand. God prepared, predestined good works for you to do, his beloved, for you to do before the foundation of the world. But he says, so that we would walk in them. He prepared them, but we have to do what, church? Walk in them. And that's what we mean by walking in the power of the Holy Spirit, by walking in the Spirit and not the flesh. If you walk in the Spirit, God will do abundantly beyond what you asked for. If you walk in the flesh, God will not bless you like he would if you walked in the Spirit, but he will use you. He will use you. But the story you write is going to be an ugly one, but it will still glorify God. But man, just think of all the good things he's prepared for you to do. He's prepared for those who humble themselves and who follow him. He's prepared wonderful things for you to do. Well, John, I don't have time to do wonderful things. I have to watch sports. I have to play games on all the devices that I have. I have to do all these other things. Well, you're missing out, church. You're missing out if you're not looking for the good works that have been prepared for you. I'm looking for them. I want to know what they are. I want to write a story that my children will be proud to read. I want to write a story that my God is proud to see. What kind of story do you want to write? Romans chapter 8. And we know that God causes all things to work together for good for those who love him. All things. Hard things, difficult things, pleasant things, joyful things, all things work together for the good of those who love him. And we're going to see this in two stories I have to tell you, two stories of difficulty where all things, good and bad, work together for those who loved God. To those who are called according to his purpose. That's you, church. For those whom he foreknew. That's you, church, who he predestined to become conformed to the image of his son so that he would be the firstborn among many. That is you, church, predestined to be the image of his son and to do great and wonderful things through the power of the Spirit of God for His glory, not our own. Remember, church, we only reflect His glory. We don't seek glory of our own. Any glory we have is just minuscule. It which bounces off of Him and back to us. He is the one who we glorify. And it is our joy to glorify Him. It is our joy to lift Him up. It is our joy to say, look to Him, don't look at me. It is our greatest pleasure to find pleasure in glorifying our God. So here's a biblical story. It's a real story, but it's an ancient story from the early New Testament. I want to look at this story, and then I want to look at a more modern story, and I want to bring together what I'm talking about. I want you to live supernatural lives, leaning on the Holy Spirit, trusting God that He will intervene daily in your life. Daily, not here and there. Acts chapter 16. We're talking about walking in the Spirit and living a supernatural life. They, Paul and Silas, passed through the Phrygian and Galatian region, having been forbidden by the Holy Spirit to speak the word in Asia. And after they came to Mysia, they were trying to go to Bithynia. And the Spirit of Jesus, the Holy Spirit, did not permit them, and passing by Mysia, they came down to Troas. Church, Paul listened to the Holy Spirit. Paul wanted to go one direction, and the Holy Spirit said, no, Paul, I don't want you to go that way. I have a different plan for you. I want you to walk over here because this is where God will be most glorified. The Holy Spirit speaks to you. You don't hear God speaking to you through a microphone. I get it. But the Holy Spirit speaks to you today, but you don't listen. And I don't listen. I spend so much time occupying my brain with inconsequential thoughts that I don't spend hardly any time meditating, listening for my Father, listening for my Christ, listening to the Holy Spirit speak to my heart. I don't spend time listening, so I don't know which direction to go because I think it's all about where my feet want to go, not where He wants me to go. If I want to be guided by the Holy Spirit, church, I have to take time to listen to that still small voice that's telling me to forgive that person, to visit that person, to share the gospel with that person, to go here, to go there, don't go there, don't go there, go over here, here's where I have work for you to do. I can only hear that voice if I take time to listen, but we are so busy, we are so consumed with worry, we're so consumed with what's going to happen next day to destroy our lives that we can't just sit and soak in the wisdom and direction of God. Take a breath. Listen to God. Let the sun on a beautiful day like this shine on your face and walk amongst the greenery that He's created and say, God, talk to me. Stop trying to solve your own problems apart from the Spirit because there's nowhere you can flee from the Spirit. Rely on Him. Listen to Him. Take time. A vision appeared to Paul in the night. A man in Macedonia was standing and appearing to him and saying, come over here to Macedonia and help us. When he had seen the vision, immediately we sought to go to Macedonia, concluding that God had called us to preach the gospel to them. Now here's where we get analogy upon analogy, church. I want you to, if you can, hang in there a little bit longer. The crowd rose up together against Paul and Silas. That's the them there. And the chief magistrates tore their robes off them and proceeded to order them to be beaten with rods. When they had struck them with many blows, they threw them into prison, commanding the jailer to guard them securely. And he, having received such a command, threw them into the inner prison and fastened their feet to the stocks. Oh man, I listened to the Holy Spirit. He told me not to go there. It was dangerous. And then He sent me over here. And now I'm in jail. And man, I thought they were going to beat me to death with those rods. Surely I'm not a blessed Christian. Surely this isn't what I was promised when I became a Christian. Now, come on. Darkness is not dark to the Lord. Paul fully embraced the beating. Paul fully embraced the chains because he knew that in that prison, he would be a witness for his King and he would enter into the joy of his master, whether he was on the road or whether he was in shackles, because he was obediently following the will of the Lord. It didn't mean that everything would be roses. Sometimes it meant it would be metal around your ankles. That's what obedience to the Lord meant. But Paul was okay with that. I'm walking with the Lord. I'm where he needs me to be. Man, that's power. That's power. That's passion. That's somebody who knows that there have been good things planned for him to do from eternity past. And wherever he walks, he's going to walk in them, whether it's into a prison or into a garden. It's all the same to Paul. He walks where the master walks. He goes where the master goes. But about midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns of praise to God. About midnight. Man, I don't know about you, church. I can't even stay up to 9 o'clock anymore. The older I get, man, my wife's waking me up, and I'm asking her how the story ended on whatever show we were watching, because I don't know. I'm asleep. I'm over there sawing wood. And here are these two brothers, beaten with rods. I mean, these people walked all over the place. They're tired. They're weary. They're being beaten with rods. And it's midnight. They're not asleep. What are they doing? They're not saying, it's midnight, it's the darkest hour, and we're in chains, and we're in prison. This is horrible. This is the worst thing that could ever happen to anybody. No, let's pray. Let's sing hymns to the Lord. Because in the darkness hour, nothing is dark to him. The darkness is like day. He wants us to be here. We can trust in him. He is our sovereign God. This is just one of the good things he has for us. Well, Paul, you call something bad good. Yeah, I do, when it's in the hands of the Lord. When it's in the sovereign purpose of the Lord, anything, even bad things that happen to me are good because I trust him. So at midnight they sang, and others heard them singing at midnight at the darkest hour. So church, I ask you, what do you do in your darkest hour? If you're walking with the Holy Spirit, you sing hymns and you pray. If you're in your darkest hour, you don't give up. You don't say, I'm done. You don't say, I can't take this anymore. You sing hymns and pray, and you let other people hear you sing hymns and pray, and you let other people know that I trust God. In the darkest hour, I trust God. Listen to the praises of the great God. Ah, but there's more, church. As they were listening to them, suddenly there came a great earthquake. Midnight. Everybody's awake because they're singing and praying. And there comes in the darkness hour a great earthquake. And my silly analogy here, church, is if you walk the walk of the Holy Spirit, if you follow God, he will shake your world. He will shake things up. Your God will shake things up if you trust him, if you obey him, if you follow him. He'll shake things up without you, but it's better to be with him than against him. But at midnight, if you cry out to him and you show him that you trust him and you loved him in your darkest hour, he will heal your lungs of the scars that may kill you. He will shake your world so that the foundations of the prison in which you find yourself will be shaken. And what will happen after that, John? Immediately all the doors were opened and everyone's chains were unfastened. If you follow and walk in the Holy Spirit, church, supernatural things will happen. Doors will be open. Doors will be open. Doors of forgiveness. Doors of opportunity. Doors of blessing. Doors that you were afraid to walk through or that you never thought would open. If you trust God in your darkest hour or in any hour, and if you walk in the Holy Spirit all your life, if you trust God, doors will open. They will. He promises that he will never leave us nor forsake us, and he has created good things for us to do, and you have to believe that. Or you can stay in your prison even though the door's open for you to walk out. God shakes things up. He opens doors and he loosens chains. Oh man, and he does things like that. I blame him. He put that in my book. I can't blame him for that. All right, he loosens chains, right? What does that mean? Hey, I know there's kids here, but you're addicted to pornography? He can loosen that chain. You're addicted to alcohol, you're addicted to drugs, he can loosen that chain. You're addicted to other things, other pleasures, he can loosen those chains. You just have to trust him. You have to go to him. You have to fall down before him and say, please loosen these chains. Shake up my world. Open my doors. You know, a lot of times when we get into addictions, it's because we're not addicted to God. A lot of times when we cling to things to give us pleasure, it's because we're not finding pleasure in the Most High God. where we should find our most pleasure. We are idle. Idle hands are indeed the devil's work, and so are idle minds. We have to love God. We have to walk in the Spirit. We have to remember who we are. We have to get off the sidelines, church, and stop coming to church as a spectator sport where we say, oh, that was a 5 sermon today. Last week was a 7. 2 weeks ago, that was a 1. It's not a spectator sport. God is waiting for you to hop in. God is waiting for you to participate. Let me end with one real life story. And why does God want us to do all this? Because when they heard him, when their chains were loose, what happened through the power of the Spirit, church? Lives got changed and people got saved. When men and women walk with God and in his power, doors get open, chains get loosed, worlds get shaken up, and in the darkest hour, when we lean upon him, people get saved. Because they see real Christians doing real works of love, finding pleasure in doing what they've been predetermined, they've been allowed to do. But there's a story I want to tell you. 1970s, a lot of you younger folks may not even know, there was a war in Vietnam. We called it a police action or a conflict, but it was a war. There was a war in Vietnam. And there was a gentleman there, Hein Pham. Look it up. I have his name there because sometimes people say, how do you spell that? That's how you spell it. This is a story I've told many times. It impacted my life as a young Christian so much that I keep remembering this story. And you've probably heard it sometimes, some of you who listen to Christian radio. Hein Pham, a Vietnamese person. When the war was going on, he was a Buddhist. And he interacted with some American soldiers, some Christians. And he gave his life to the Lord. He became a Christian. He also became a translator for the American troops. In addition to that, he became a translator for the underground missionaries in Vietnam. He was a hardcore Christian. He was a believer. The war ended. The American troops left. Hein Pham was not able to leave the country. He or his family had to stay in the country. So for years, they would imprison him. The communist regime would put him in prison with the sole purpose of breaking Hein Pham from his religion, from his faith in Jesus Christ. But they couldn't do it. They imprisoned him several times. On the final time they imprisoned Hein Pham, he was in a bad prison. Not that there's any good prisons in Vietnam. He was in a bad place. He was tired of being away from his family. He was tired of being plucked out of his farm. He was a farmer, and so were all of his friends. He was tired of being plucked out of that place and put in prison. And all they would do all day long was try to brainwash Hein Pham. Brainwash, Jesus is not real. We are gods. Communism is the way to go. Renounce Jesus Christ. Renounce Jesus Christ. Don't put your faith in this illusionary God. And Hein Pham wouldn't give in. But one night, when he was particularly tired and weary, his midnight, it was his midnight, and he could no longer sing psalms or pray, Hein Pham said, tomorrow I am going to renounce my faith, and tomorrow I will not pray, which is my habit. I will not pray to the Lord Jesus Christ. They broke him. Next day came, Hein Pham didn't pray. The commander of the prison sent Hein Pham to clean the latrines. For those of you who don't know, they're the bathrooms. Now, humans in good society don't keep the bathrooms clean. You imagine what a bathroom was like in a Vietnam prison. The worst job you could possibly want is to go clean the bathroom in a Vietnamese prison. He went. At the bottom of one of the toilets, stuck to the side because they were just basically holes, Hein Pham saw a piece of paper with some English words on it. He pulled out that piece of paper. And yes, he cleaned off what was on there to the degree that he could. And he saw that it was English. And he said, oh, I like English. Reminds me of my brethren who were here, who left the country. I like to read English. I'm going to put it in my pocket. I'm going to read it later. Yeah, it's disgusting. But when you're in Vietnamese prison, you got no hope, you're going to do what you got to do. So he goes back to his prison late that night. He pulls out this piece of paper from where it was hidden, and he brushes it off, and he reads this, church. And this is a true story. And we know that in all things God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose. For those God foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his son, that he might be the firstborn among many brothers and sisters. Haim Phan broke down. He was just in tears as he read that. And he said, I'm sorry, Lord. I'm sorry I gave up my faith. I know that you are with me. And Haim Phan got out of prison. He was released from prison. He went back to his village of farmers. And he said to his wife and family, we have to leave Vietnam. We have to get out of here. The Spirit's telling me we have to go. 53 of his friends, his farmers, said, yeah, we'll go with you, Haim Phan. We'll leave with you. So they endeavored to build a boat that they would have to drag to the coast. They were farmers. So they built a boat. Probably not the best, probably not the most seaworthy boat, but they were going to get out of the country and they were going to trust the Lord. A couple days before they were ready to go, 4 Viet Cong soldiers show up to Haim Pham's door. He opens the door. We hear you plan to escape. Haim Phan says, no, it's all rumor. We're not planning to escape. We were told you plan to escape. No, it's not true. We're not going to escape. We wouldn't do that. The soldiers go away. Haim Phan feels sorrow because he feels, oh, I should have trusted God and not lied. I'm not going to get into a debate about that. But he said in his heart, I should have trusted God and not lied because whatever happens to me is God's will. He said in his prayer, if those soldiers come back, I will tell them the truth. A couple of days later, the soldiers come back. Haim Phan, we are told and we know that you're trying to leave the country. You're right, I am. Me and 53 others, we're going to take a boat from the coast and we're going to leave the country. The soldiers looked at Haim Phan and said, we want to go with you. We want to go with you. You're not here to arrest me? No, we want to go with you. Amen. So they drug that boat to the coast with the 4 soldiers and the 53 farmers. And they got into that water. And wouldn't you know it, as they're headed to a country that was more friendly towards them, a storm brewed up, a vicious storm. This is a boat full of farmers. They're not sailors, they're farmers. Haim Phan is getting worried. We're not going to make it. This storm is too big. This storm is too great. And he says to the people on the boat, is there anybody here who can help us manage this vessel and get us through the storm? And the 4 Viet Cong soldiers step up and say, we were fishermen. We got you. We got your back. And they sailed the boat. I think it was to Cambodia, but some other land. And God rescued them because Haim Phan walked in the Spirit. He trusted God, and God did supernatural things in his life, just like God did for Paul and Silas. So I ask you one last time before we depart, what story are you writing? This is my story. This is my song. What is your story? What is your song? Are you living in the supernatural? Are you living in the Holy Spirit? Are you walking where he has predestined good works for you to do? Are you walking with Christ or are you sitting on the sidelines? Church, I have no blessing for you this morning other than say, use the power that is in you, the abundant power of the Holy Spirit. I'm just going to pray for you and we're going to be finished. And I'm just going to tell you to walk out of this building telling God and yourself that you are going to live a supernatural life, glorifying him, and you no longer are going to be sidelined by the thoughts in your head. Can we agree that that might happen today? I'm going to pray that it does. And Jesus, I ask you, Jesus, our Lord and Savior, the one who died for us and sent the Holy Spirit to dwell in us to allow us to live incredible lives, radical lives, lives that can change the world through your power, through your grace, for your glory. You have chosen each one here who names the name of Christ. You have chosen them, saved them, put your Holy Spirit in them, and you have expectations for them. I ask you, Lord, don't ever let them rest until they rely upon you and walk the walk that you have made for them. Help each and every one here rely on the Holy Spirit and live their lives in the supernatural, breathing heavenly air. In Jesus' precious name, amen.